You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Good morning, church. God bless you for gathering here in your community on this beautifully stormy day. God bless you for your amazing work in Love Somalia this last week and this last weekend. I'm seeing the pictures of you guys on your website and on Grace's Facebook, and that's just awesome, awesome. This is how we grow God's kingdom. Amen. And guess what? God calls that worship. God calls that worship. I'm so honored to be here as you kick off this series with our ministry, Worship is Life, just to lay this great foundation. And Pastor Dan and I were talking about, you know, what word, what attribute of God could just say it all? And we're talking about a few different words, and we just went with the word holy. God is the Holy One, which means He is the set-apart one. He is the consecrated one. He is pure and blameless. He is all in all. He is the I Am. He is eternal. He is set apart. And so we're going to be looking at this message, Worship is Life, and so thrilled to be here. Just love getting to know your pastor and Pastor Grace. I love the way they think. I love the way they talk. I love the language on the website. From everything I can see, you guys are being formed to live this right here, Worship is Life. And we are here just to encourage you in that and stretch you further in that for the sake of growing God's kingdom here in Columbia Heights. And so God bless you. Just a little bit about our family. My lovely wife, Brenda, is with us here. We've been worship arts pastors for 30 years until God called us out 4 years ago with this message for the church, and it's what brings us here today. And just as you heard, connected with that is our role as worship arts directors for the district. So it's been a great fit for that piece of the puzzle to come together with us, but we've been traveling all over the country and now the world. And so this is our family. There's our daughter, Kelsey, and her husband, Ben. They serve at Summit Church in St. Paul, so they're ministering right now. And this is our son, Taylor. He is a 19-year-old senior at North Central University, and we just dropped him off in Columbus, Ohio just this week for his summer internship. And so blessed to have a great family and so blessed to have my helpmate and teammate and partner in ministry and life here. And we're glad to be with you here today. So, this is our mission statement for Worship is Life, growing God's kingdom through biblical worship. And someone might ask, what does worship have to do with growing God's kingdom? And I would answer by saying it has everything to do with growing God's kingdom, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is our vision, to bring the Worship is Life message to the body of Christ on every continent. And we are starting to see fruit of that as God just continues to open doors and spread the influence. A year ago, we published our book, Worship is Life, Finding Our Identity in the Story of Worship, and that's available to you back there. Matter of fact, this was just published a year ago, but I just did a second edition. So this is the second edition, has a study guide in it, just unpacks a few things a little more. And you are the first congregation that we are bringing the brand new edition to. So that's available to you back there. And I'm really excited to say that this has just been translated into Spanish. And we're working on getting that published in Spanish. Also, last fall, I was invited by the General Superintendent of Tanzania. And we were there, or I was there, the whole week of Thanksgiving, ministering to a couple hundred leaders there, and have just been invited back. So the end of August, I will be in northern Tanzania doing a northern zone conference for over 600 pastors as we dig into this. Tanzania, the Assemblies of God in Tanzania, has planted over 8,000 churches in the last 8.5 years, and they have zero worship studies training. And so coming in there to work with 600 pastors on this message and helping them get a certificate developed for their Bible colleges and their church planting centers. So just starting to see evidence. We've had a great connection through the Hmong community in the Twin Cities and across the country. And so we're seeing some influence there starting to spread into the Asian world. And God is making it happen. And we're excited about that. So Worship is Life says that worship is much more than something we do, but worship is who we are. I'm going to give you just like a 60-second overview, so get you tracking on the same page as me, and then we're going to dig into it, okay? So God's description of worship is much deeper and much broader than our idea of worship. And God describes worship the same way he describes relationship. This description that God gives us works in a pattern, because God works in patterns. And this pattern is revelation and response. He reveals himself to us and then invites us to respond to him. God calls us to live our lives by this pattern. And as we live our lives by the pattern of revelation and response, this is how God grows his kingdom, by working through us to grow his kingdom. And we do that by living in this pattern that God calls worship, that God calls relationship. And so we are going to look at biblical worship, God's description of worship. We're going to look at the pattern. Everyone say the pattern. We're going to look at the purpose. Everyone say the purpose. And we're going to look at the pursuit. Everyone say that. Pursuit. So we're going to look at the pattern, the purpose, and the pursuit of God's description of worship, biblical worship. Many people, many believers all around the world, when they think of worship, their idea of worship right now is often in the context of music and singing. It's something that we relate to very closely to our idea of worship. And across the world, worship has literally become equal to music and singing. And there is something very beautiful and profound about this reality, about connecting our idea of worship to music and singing. And I'm actually going to tell you at the end of the message what that secret is. But you're going to have to wait. There's also a very real unintended consequence that can come if we only think of worship in terms of what we do when the musicians start to play and sing and lead us in expressing our praise, our worship in song. And that unintended consequence is we can begin to compartmentalize our idea of worship, and there can become a disconnect between worshiping God and living life. But God wants worship to be happening in life. And so we're going to look at how do we connect our idea of worshiping God to living life. Let me give you an interesting little fact here. Our English word worship is found in our scriptures nearly 200 times. But you can count on one hand the number of times that our English word worship is found in the context of music and singing in the scriptures. So 4 to 5 times out of nearly 200 times is it found in the context of music and singing. So you can see God's idea of worship, his description of worship, is much deeper and much broader than that. So from God's view, worship does not equal music and singing. In God's description, worship equals relationship. Worship equals relationship. So we're going to look at something, an aspect of God that we don't talk about very much, and that is this. God works in patterns. This is how he works. We see this evidence all around us, right? First we have day, and then we have what? Okay? The ocean tide comes in, and the ocean tide does what? Okay, everything that goes up must come. For every action, there's an equal, right? When you forgive, you are. When you judge, you will be. When you show mercy, you will be shown what? You reap what you confess your sins, and you will be Okay, so obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings discipline. Humble yourself and you will be lifted up. Patterns all around us in every area of life. This is how God works. God works in patterns. So it should be no surprise that there is a pattern for worship. There is a pattern for relationship. And we're going to call this pattern revelation and response. God reveals himself to us and invites us to respond to him. So when we look at how God reveals himself, and then we look at the definitions of the words in Scripture that we translate into worship, we begin to see how God describes worship. We begin to see how God describes relationship. I want to give you a visual so you can see what I'm talking about, see the pattern, and remember it with this picture of this three-legged stool. God's pattern for worship in the form of a three-legged stool. So the seat of the stool is revelation and response. This is the pattern. God reveals, invites us to respond. There's three legs of this pattern of revelation and response, all right? Leg number one, God reveals who he is and invites us to respond in reverence, okay? And God calls this worship. Leg number two, God reveals what he's done, his work, his story, and invites us to respond with adoration, thanksgiving, and praise. God calls this what? He calls us worship. Thank you, Pastor Ben. God calls us worship. And leg number three, God reveals what he says to do and invites us to respond in obedience. And guess what God calls this? Worship. God calls this worship. So here's our three legs of revelation and response. God reveals who he is by his nature, what he's done through his story, and what he says to do invites us to respond out of reverence, adoration, and obedience. I want to show you several scriptures here now. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of this pattern from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22 because it's God's pattern. So we see it all through Scripture. I'm just going to show you several examples now as we turn to the Scriptures. First of all, Psalm 63:3. Let's all say this together. Ready? Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Okay? So you see the pattern. The revelation is God's loving kindness is better than life. And what is the response we're invited to give? With our lips, we will give him praise. There's the pattern. Let's look at this. This is the story, the account of Jesus with the woman at the well in John 4. And in 4:41, it says this. Let's say it together. And because of his words, many more became believers. So you see the pattern, the revelation, his words, and the response. People responded by putting their trust, their faith, their belief in him. We see this in countless characters in our scriptures. Genesis 6, Noah. God said to Noah, the revelation, I am going to put an end to all people. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Noah, his response, he did everything just as God commanded. We see it in Genesis 12, amazing example of revelation response. Abraham, the Lord had said to Abraham, the revelation, his words, go from your country to the land I will show you. Abraham's response, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Luke 1, amazing example, Jesus mother Mary, the angel said to her, the revelation came, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And now let's say her response all together. Ready? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. This is her response to the revelation of God. And of course, the greatest example, Jesus, God coming in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. John 5:19 says this, the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. So the revelation is he's looking to see what the Father is doing, and his response is, that is all that he is doing, what the Father is showing him to do. Now, I want to show you my favorite example in all of Scripture. When God showed me this about a year and a half ago, I was just blown away. Paul writes the entire book of Romans in the pattern of revelation and response. Takes the first 8 chapters, talks about who God is, and then tells the whole story of God in the first 8 chapters. So that's what we're going to look at first. Watch this. This is just mind-boggling. Where does the story start? God's story starts with creation. At least our story in relation with him starts with creation. So Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about creation. Matter of fact, in Romans 1:20, he says that the revelation of God as creator is so significant, is so impacting, is so all-encompassing that because of creation, man is without excuse. Starts with creation. And then we move into the next part of the story, the fall of man. So Paul takes chapters 1-3 and speaks about the fall of man, what we did to take that step away from God. And then the next part of the story, thankfully it didn't end there. Next part of the story is redemption in Christ for all people, because God has always been a redeeming God. And that climaxes with the coming of Christ and the death of Christ. So chapters 3-7, Paul takes 5 chapters to talk about redemption in Christ for all people. But then the next part of the story, Christ's resurrection. So Paul takes chapters 6-7, speaking of Christ's resurrection. Then in chapter 8, we get to the part of the story that we are living in right now. The first half of chapter 8, Paul talks about life in the Spirit. Sometimes we call this walking in the Spirit. I call this worship is life. Because on the day of Pentecost, everything changed. Everything changed on the day of Pentecost. Because of the work of Christ, his death, his resurrection. Watch this. Now, instead of God putting his Spirit, his breath, his life on certain individuals at certain points of history for a certain amount of time, now, on the day of Pentecost, every person that makes a favorable response to the revelation of God becomes the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, of the breath of God, of the life of God. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what changed. God wanted to amp up the spreading of his kingdom, so he had a plan. Christ died, Christ rose again, and then the day of Pentecost, the whole dynamic of relationship between God and man changed. We became the dwelling place of the Spirit of God when we enter into relationship with him. And this is how God grows his kingdom. And we are living in the best part of the story so far right now. So then there's a greater part coming. And so Paul takes the end of chapter 8 to talk about our future glory, Christ's return and eternity. So is that amazing or what? The entire story of God, who he is in Romans 1-8. And then in chapters 9-11, we get some more revelation where Paul is talking about his heart for the Jews, his call to the Gentiles, and that God created and redeemed all people. Okay? Not just the Jews, and the Gentiles are not second-class citizens. Okay? God created and redeemed all people. So Revelation chapter 1-11. And then at the end of chapter 11, Paul shifts from revelation to response. And he gives his own personal response. And at the end of chapter 11, we have one of the most beautiful doxologies of praise in all of Scripture as Paul pens what's coming out of his heart in response to all that he has just written. Okay? And then Paul moves into challenging us and encouraging us and inviting us to respond. And now we come to Romans 12:1. One of the most well-known single scriptures on worship in all of the Bible. Let's read it together. Ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul is saying worship is life. take your whole lives and bow yourself down to God your Creator, to God your Redeemer, to God who is now dwelling in you with His Spirit, His breath, and His life. So he's saying, therefore, what is he referring to? He's referring to chapters 1 through 11, the whole story of God, the whole nature of God, His purposes, and then His own personal response. And then he says, because of who God is, because of what He's done, because of what He's inviting you to do, I urge you to lay your lives down, holy and pleasing to God. And this is what God calls worship. And then Paul takes Romans 12, verse 2, all the way into the last chapter, chapter 16, and he tells us what a response of worship looks like. He tells us what a life of worship looks like. Romans 12, 2, very common to all of us. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what is the pattern of this world? The pattern of the world, simply put, is self. God has a pattern, revealing Himself and inviting us to respond to Him, and the world has a pattern. The world follows the pattern of self. So we, our heart is always, our spiritual heart, who we are, is always in a posture of worship. We are either bowing our lives before Almighty God, or we are bowing our lives before Almighty Self. That is the battle. Chapter 2 of the book, by the way. The battle for our worship. And then he moves right in all the way through, halfway into the last chapter, chapter 16, and he says, this is what it looks like, folks. Be humble. Love each other. Bless those who persecute you. Submit to authorities. Accept those whose faith is weak. Do not judge. Over and over and over. Here's what it looks like. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. Because that third leg of worship is a response of obedience. It's a response of obedience. And look at that list there. Every one of those is in the context of relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with others. You can find every one of those in the Old Testament. You can find every one of those in the words of Jesus. This is what God's description of worship looks like. Relationship with Him and relationship with others. Just unbelievable description of worship in the book of Romans. So, this is the pattern, revelation and response, that God calls worship, that God calls relationship. So, we've seen the pattern. Now, we're going to move on to the purpose. And I am just going to state the purpose right from the get-go. The purpose of worship, relationship, is to grow God's kingdom. This is the overall purpose. God calls each one of us to respond to Him, and once we do, we partner with Him to grow His kingdom. We join up with Christ to do the work of God the Father of growing His kingdom, bringing people into relationship with Him, into worship of Him. So we talked about God works in patterns. God also creates systems. We look all around us. Look at our universe. You see systems. Look at our planet. You see systems. Look in our body. You see systems. Look in our social interactions. You see systems. Look at this building. You see systems. Systems, systems, systems. Okay, God creates systems. He created us in His image, so we create systems. Okay, God creates systems. So it's no surprise that God has created a system for growing His kingdom. God's system for growing His kingdom is that He works through those who are a part of His kingdom. This is how He grows His kingdom. We are a part of His kingdom. He works through us to grow His kingdom. Now, does He sovereignly intervene in that system? Of course, just like He sovereignly intervenes in all His systems. But primarily, He has created a system for growing His kingdom by working through us. Jesus taught this. Jesus modeled this. The apostles taught this. The apostles modeled this. Working through us to grow the kingdom of God. And He does this in the context of relationship. This all happens in the context of relationship. And one of the most beautiful single verses that shows that is a very, very familiar verse, Revelation 3:20. Let's read this together. Ready? Here we go. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Is that relationship or what? But guess what? It's in the pattern of revelation and response. Jesus is saying, here I am. Hello. Hello. I am here. I am revealing myself to you. And not only am I just here, I am knocking. I am standing at the door of your life, and I am knocking. I'm revealing myself to you. I am knocking. And the response, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door of their life, and then, guess what? It's also a cycle, because now God responds to our response and says, I will come in and dwell with them, eat with that person, and they with me. So you see this pattern of revelation and response is also a cycle. It keeps going back and forth because in this relationship, this is how God grows his kingdom. So let's take some time here and talk about relationship. I bet you didn't know you were going to hear about relationship when we were talking about worship. Let's talk about relationship. So let's first look at how God does relationship. Here's how God does relationship. God doesn't focus on himself. He focuses on me, he focuses on you, and he focuses on others. This is how God does relationship. His focus is on others. But what's the pattern of the world? The pattern of the world is self, and so our tendency is to focus on self, and here's where the battle comes in. I want to show you a little comic here. I love this comic strip, Dilbert. How many are familiar with this? A few of you? So Dilbert is a nerdy engineer, and this is one of his fellow engineers, Alice, and a new policy has come down from the top, and he's talking to her about this because she's breaking it. And he says this, the company's new politeness policy forbids you from texting while I am trying to talk to you. And Alice smugly replies, I'm not using a texting app. I'm replying to people on social media. Dilbert says, you're missing the point. And then Alice says, when did my happiness stop being the point? When did my happiness stop being the point? What's the pattern of the world? Self. The pattern of the world is self. This is our battle. We're always battling against self because that's just our fallen nature. It's our in our brokenness. This is our broken nature. So God shows us how to do relationship. But first, let's look at how the world teaches us to do relationship. I have learned that in trying to relate to God, which is impossible to completely understand, completely relate to him in a way that we can describe, because God is beyond description. He's beyond our understanding. However, I've learned that in trying to relate to God, the best way to relate is to look at those that he made, which is us. This is the best way we can relate to God, is look at the ones that he has made in his image. So in relationships, we can see these differences when we look at how the world teaches us to do relationship. So in the world we live in, this world teaches us that relationships are based on how we feel about the other person. This is what the world tries us to get us to think. Relationships are based on how we feel about the other person. My feelings about that person is what is the basis of this relationship. Now, that sounds very true because we're used to seeing and hearing that all around us. It also sounds pretty self-centered that it's based on how I feel about the other person. But in our brokenness, the self-centeredness goes to even a deeper level than this, and that is, in relationships, when we live in the world's pattern, when we're in the pattern of self, relationships are based on our perception of how the other person makes us feel about ourselves. You can't get more broken than that. Relationships in the world's pattern end up being based on our perception of how the other person makes us feel about ourselves. Let me give you a couple examples here. Because this reality is true whether you're talking about your pet or the stranger on the street or all the way to your spouse and everyone in between. In the pattern of self, this bears out. I'll give you two examples. Example number one. You are driving down the freeway at a freeway speed. You know, you're not speeding, but it's a freeway speed. You've got family in the car. You've got your spouse. You've got your kids. Maybe you got grandkids in the car. You're driving down, and then somebody, a complete stranger in another car, does something with their car to totally put your life and the life of the ones you love in peril by doing something stupid, rude, illegal, whatever it may be. And now all of a sudden, this stranger, you don't know anything about them. You will never see them or meet them anytime in your life. And all of a sudden, you have these intense thoughts and feelings about that person. Right? How can that be possible? How can that be? You don't know this person. You don't know if they're nice, mean, sweet, rude. But their actions just made you feel threatened, made you feel offended. Your perception of what they did, which seems intentional, has just offended your feeling of what is right, also caused you to feel in danger. And so your perception of what they did is causing you to have these feelings, and that is causing you to have feelings and thoughts about them. Do you understand what I'm saying? What they did, your feelings about them, is about how it's making you think and feel. Same thing happens with your spouse, all right? Wives, if your husband says something or does something that makes you feel unloved, you begin to have negative feelings and thoughts towards your husband because your perception of what they said or your perception of what they did is causing you to feel unloved. And that tempts you, if we're going to stay in the pattern of self, that tempts you to have negative thoughts and feelings about them, but it's your perception of what they did to you. Husbands, if your wife says or does something that feels disrespectful, that makes you feel disrespected, then your perception of what she did or what she said is causing you to have negative thoughts and feelings because you feel disrespected. This is the dynamic that's happening in our relationships constantly when we're in the pattern of the world. Now, this is important and it matters on multiple levels. But what I want to point out to you today in the context of worship is life is what happens is we bring this dynamic into our relationship with God. We bring this dynamic into our relationship with God when the focus is on self. When the focus is on self, our relationship with God becomes based on our perception of how He feels about us, what He thinks about us, which then impacts how we feel. So if I'm doing something that I think pleases God, if my actions are pleasing God, my perception is that God is happy with me, and that makes me feel good about myself. If I'm doing something that I know is disobedient or displeasing to God, that makes me think that God is not happy with me, and that makes me feel bad about myself. So watch this. When our relationship with God is focused on ourselves, then the potential for growing God's kingdom plummets, takes a nosedive. When our focus in our relationship with God is on self, the potential for God's kingdom to work through us and grow through us and touch others takes a nosedive. When our relationship with God is focused on Him, the potential for Him to work through us to grow His kingdom explodes exponentially. So this is how God calls us to do relationships. He doesn't call me to focus on myself. He calls me to focus on Him. He calls me to focus on you. And He calls me to focus on others. This is how God calls us to do relationship. And as we do that, guess what? God calls this worship. When we are doing relationship with God, focused on Him, focused on those around us, God calls this worship, God calls this relationship, and this is how He works to grow His kingdom. This is how He works to grow His kingdom. God grows His kingdom by working through us. He works through us who are in relationship with Him to invite others, or through those who are in relationship with Him to invite others into relationship with Him. His kingdom grows. So let's get practical in the next 3 minutes here and talk about the pursuit. As we pursue this journey that we're on, and it is a journey. Doesn't matter where you are right now in the journey. We are all on a journey learning to grow and learning why that's significant. As we're on this journey, it's a constant battle. No matter where you are, you've already learned that. It's a constant battle in this struggle of our brokenness being made whole, being made holy, set apart in God, okay? So God has given me, because I'm in the same battle you are, on the same journey you are, God has given me a phrase and an acrostic that has helped me it's helped me put language and handles to this walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. That can sound so ambiguous, so spiritual, so just out of reach. So this has given me some language and some handles to stay in this place of relationship with God. And so I have this phrase, living in awe of God. So living denotes the fact that we're staying there. We want to be in this place of awe of God. And awe, of course, is a very worshipful word. So we have an acrostic here. And the acrostic, the three letters of awe, this correlates with the three legs of revelation and response. So A, the first step is to stay in a place of acknowledging. Stay in a place of acknowledging who God is. Live. live in the place of acknowledging who God is. The next one is to welcome. Live in a place of welcoming what he's done and welcoming him into every encounter, into every task, into every situation of your life. We're living in this place of welcoming him. And that all happens through the third letter, and that is engage. So living in this place, living in this state of engaging, living in this state of listening for God, living in this state of looking for God, living in this state of responding to God. Why? So we can feel better about our relationship with God? No, because this is how God grows his kingdom. As we live in this place, as his sons and daughters, of acknowledging him, as we live in this place of welcoming him, as we live in this place of engaging him, he works through us to grow his kingdom. This has been just so huge in my life the last few years. And as I close, I'll just give you just two little examples here. We all hear encouragement of having our quiet time, our devotion time, that set apart time with God at the beginning of our day. And that's a journey, getting consistent with that. It's part of a relationship with God. But it's so easy to think of it as a discipline, something I have to do. And I thought about that in it that way for so long. And what changed for me is when that time for me shifted from becoming something that I have to do, that I need to do so I can feel good about my relationship with God, so I can set the tone for my day, that shifted to I am setting the pattern for the day in this time. When I'm in my time with God, I'm listening for him, I'm looking for him, and I'm responding to him. And that is the pattern that I want to live out my day. So that time is now not just setting the tone for the day, it's setting the pattern for the day. I'll just give you one last example, and then Pastor Dan's going to come. I am working, for the first time in 30 years, I am working a part-time job. So 3 nights a week, I am teaching teenagers how to drive. All right? So I've had many people ask me, you know, so, wow, how do you like that job? You know? And I tell them this. I say, except for about the 24 times I've almost died, it's been a fantastic job. It's been a great job. I get these kids one at a time in the car for 2 hours. And the ministry conversations that have come out of that, as I am intentionally praying for them, as I am intentionally listening for God, looking for God, and responding to God, it has been amazing. And this is what God calls relationship, and this is what God calls worship, and this is why. So we are touching the world around us to grow his kingdom, touching the world around us to grow his kingdom. And your congregation and your leadership is such a beautiful picture and a beautiful example of that. And we just want to encourage you to stay in that, to keep growing in that, to keep touching Columbia Heights. And we're going to respond now in the greatest way we can, and that is by taking communion together as we put our focus on all of who God is and all that God has done through Jesus Christ. Pastor Dan, come.